This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call them every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, expired imported cakes and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro.
Superman's father's Joel.
No, I don't believe that's true. That's my co-host Dave Rothenberg. We got our amazing producers.
I would take Dinklage.
Of course
I don't
you
watch
would.
A celebrity.
Oh, that's RJ Santillo and the great Raymond Santiago. Thank you for getting up with us this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Did you mean Wade Phillips?
Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, as always, is 1-800-919-3776. We have an unbelievable show planned for you today.
Phooey!
Now you shut your mouth, David. The Knicks got South Beach slapped down in Miami. Nets without their big three.
How about Harden? Harden.
Yes, Dave. Without Harden, who was resting his hamstring, they dropped their third straight at home to the Nuggets. The Giants introduced their new GM, Joe Shane, yesterday. We'll hear from him and the owner, John Mara.
I sent myself a DM, which makes me look really smart. We'll hear from that.
Nobody cares about that, Dave. Islanders, Rangers, and Devils all in action tonight. I'll be on the point with Torts and Arda Ocal today at 5 on ESPN2. We have Slipknot tickets, the super duper box bonanza. And as always, on the Thursday at 6:45, we have Nobservations and Did It Happen in Florida? But before we get to any of that, I would like to say good morning to a man with quite the wandering eye.
I'm intrigued by a lot of guys.
Lots of guys. That is my best friend and yours, David Rothenberg.
Wow. I got to be honest with you. Last week was good. This week is, I don't know where you go from here. You continue to reach new heights of just brilliance with this open. And I'd like to take credit because a few weeks ago I said it was underwhelming. And now it couldn't be better. But where do you go? Like, this is like Jordan's 63, Kobe's 81. What do you do next week?
I don't know. I got to give you credit, though. Can we have you go speak to the Knicks starting five? Is that possible?
I'd love to.
Could you turn them around?
I turned Frank Ntilikina around for a little bit.
That's a good point. He actually, in his book, he's going to reference that, I heard.
Do you remember that, by the way, how off that was? Where are we at? Like Lorden Taylor?
Lorden Taylor, yep.
And it's me, you, Canty, Frank Ntilikina. And we're introduced, and he's a kid. And we meet him. I'm like, listen, Frank, here's what you need to do.
It was like in the men's clothing section.
In the men's clothing. We're sitting down. There's people in line. I'm like, listen, Frank, listen to me, booby. I said, here's what you need to do. You need to take the ball to the basket. You're lacking aggression. And he's such a nice kid. He's like, yes, sir. And do you remember how well he played the games following that?
Yeah, that game after that little talkie out with him, I think he was one of his best games.
Yes. Exactly. By the way, I was telling RJ this as you guys were in your little Zoom call, you and Raymond. Today was almost catastrophic.
Oh, no. What happened today? Yeah.
Well, it probably would have been the worst for you of anybody. So, and I don't know if you ever have this. I think you said you had this once or twice. Wake up, 4:10, alarm goes off. Great. Wakes me up, roll over. Accidentally turn the alarm off.
Oh, no.
Instead of the snooze. There be it for the grace of God. Fall back of sleep. Roll over. 4:39.
Oh.
I'm like, well, I wonder. I'm like, pop. You know, you have that moment of like, oh, my God. And then I'm like, is it, are we sure it's only 4:30? Like, is it definitely 4:30? Yeah. I'm like, okay, good. Yeah. I wear pants.
I would have killed you. Yeah, we would have cold called your house.
Well, I think and this is the genius. I gave RJ my home number once, so just in case that were to ever happen, he could call the house phone. If at like 4:57, I still wasn't available for you guys. But yeah, that's terrifying.
That's the worst feeling. We had a kid at training camp that was a young kid. He wasn't going to make the team, but he wanted to make a good impression on the coaching staff. So the last day at training camp, we're leaving because the bus is leaving. I forget what time of the morning it was. We're all walking out of our rooms with our luggage. He's sleeping on the chair outside of the elevator. Like he hadn't been back yet to pack up his stuff, had accidentally passed out on the chair outside the elevator.
Yeah, but that's not apples to apples.
No, it's not apples to apples, but could you imagine being that kid?
No.
Like not knowing, like, seriously, like he was probably so drunk that he just passed out. But he wakes up to us walking by him with our luggage.
But have you had what I had today, where you turn the alarm off instead of the snooze, and then you wake yourself up later?
It happened to me 2 weeks ago. Milo had the 7 a.m. game, and for some reason, I don't know how, I must have done it in my sleep. I shut my phone off.
You turned your phone off?
The phone was completely off. I'm like, I rolled over. I'm like, oh my God, this is 15 minutes past my alarm. Why didn't this thing go on? I picked up my phone. It was off.
Yeah, because you're not sleeping enough. Your body is telling you, turn the phone off, sleep. It's begging you.
Without knowing it.
Right. It's begging you, sleep, for God's sakes. All right. I know RJ at some point very soon is going to start sports.
I actually enjoyed that a great deal.
Sports! You enjoyed what we were doing?
No, I just find it relatable.
Well, because it is relatable. Have you had that?
I had once where, and I don't know if you guys have had this yet, where you look and your alarm is off and you just don't remember it. Like, you don't remember touching your phone. So, Dave, what you described this morning, but you don't remember it. You're like, how did the alarm's off? I know I said it. The other alarm's off, and you just don't remember any of it.
So you sleep, like, kind of sleep through it, but you're turning it off in your subconscious?
Yeah, it's not good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you had you wake up and you don't know what exact day or time it happens to be?
Not all the time, but it does happen. It used to happen all the time. when I worked roughly this shift the first time around, I had it. So you know how, Dave, you had that experience where you wake up and you think, oh, I'm late for the show, but it's like the afternoon.
That was the worst. So, and before I did anything, it was amazing. I had conjured up a full plan and anger in my head of why this, in fact, was not my fault. Why our program director, Ryan Hurley, who we called yesterday, really was at fault. And if I was berated at all, the style of attack I was going to go on.
That's detailed.
You're a loser.
I was like, wait a minute.
I did the show this morning.
Right.
I'm post-nap now, not pre-show.
So the absolute worst case scenario, and this happened to me, where you go through that, and then you calm yourself down. You're like, oh, no, it's just the thing that happens all the time. And then you realize, this is not a drill. This is not a drill.
Wait, you slept through something?
Oh, yeah, like an hour and a half passed. Like, you're like, order an Uber, your pants are half on. Like, it's a disaster.
you didn't miss the show.
No, but it's a disaster when that happens.
All right, so here's my question.
Yeah.
Of the four of us, who will be the first one to be late for a show?
Oh, it can't be Santiago. I mean, he's
here. I was just going to say, cross me out. I live here.
He lives at the studio.
Can you imagine some of those, though, like if it was Santiago, like he just wakes up. Like, he's not even in his apartment.
Imagine Ray just wakes up one day and he's in, like, you know, the back studio. It's like, well, I'm in the back studio. Wait a minute, it's 5:40.
And Steve Hart is like, is spooning next to him.
Oh, my goodness, why?
It'd be like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles back
feeding
there.
Feeding him Russian dressing.
What's the line? What does he say? Those are not pillows. those are not pillows. He turns to me, he's like, those are not pillows. By the way, it's 5:30. Steve, you knew? Yeah, I knew, but I was so comfortable.
You're so warm.
Steve Hart, by the way, just to let people know, I don't even know what he does, to be honest, but he something in traffic, I believe, in a very untimely fashion. But he is like the guy that tells people they got into the NFL Hall of Fame. That's who he.
He looks just like him.
Was that David Baker? Is that his name?
He looks just like him.
A slight bit smaller version of David Baker, and maybe a little less put together.
He's the best. I love him.
David Baker?
No, I love Steve. He brought me to mince. He brought me to mincemeat pie once.
Stop it. You're killing me. He what?
He brought me in a mincemeat pie.
Tell me he made the mincemeat pie.
No, I think he bought it. So he bought the mincemeat pie.
There is no chance you ate it.
No. So zero.
He brought you the pie, and you just said thank you and threw it to the garbage?
Yeah, I didn't even take it home.
Oh, my God. You're a savage. All right. RJ, here we go. Sports. I would do anything to not talk this today, but we will, and then we'll get into the Giants. A lot to do. That Knicks performance last night was putrid, and I had a – we'll discuss, and then I'll say a little bit later this moment of clarity, of revelation that I had, but I don't even know what to say at this point. I'm so glad that I'm not emotionally invested anymore because this team right now is garbage.
Yeah, it was gross. I mean, it was gross. And they were all classed. I mean, you can tell. I mean, they're nowhere close to where Miami Heat are.
But 30 points in the third quarter outclassed?
Well, forget that, though. I mean, you're down. Again, I mean, how many times do we have to talk about if this team is going to be, you know, what we were hoping for? They're not talented enough to just to go into these games and just try to figure it out on the fly. You know what I mean? Like, you got to come out and you have to be ready to go from the start of these games. And, I mean, before you could blink, they're down 13-2 in Miami.
Yeah, well, it was 9-0, right?
I mean, 13-2, and you're trying to dig yourself out of that. And then you start the third quarter the same way. So you start the first quarter, you're down 13-2. You start the third quarter, and the Heat go on an 11-2 run. My only question is this, is why, I mean, I get, you know, you have certain rotations, and you don't want to mess with the bench because the bench unit is pretty good. But why, I mean, why is Julius Randle still only down 30? You're going to wait till you're down 30 to try to spark this thing with the bench? Like, I don't get it.
I got to tell you, as good, and Tibbs was phenomenal last year, and I don't place all the blame on him this year, but he is not having a good season. He's not. His rotations, his decisions leave a lot to be desired. I mean, minus 30? Like, R.J. Barrett and Julius Randle were minus 30 last night at some point.
Well, yeah, I mean, they finished off. Randle was minus 34, Barrett was minus 36.
I don't know that I've ever heard anything worse than that.
No, I mean, he got dominated. I mean, Randle got dominated in his matchup against P.J. Tucker. I mean, Tucker had 10 points in the first quarter. The Knicks had one less turnover than made field goals in the first quarter. They had 6 made field goals and 5 turnovers in the first quarter.
And I agree with you, outclassed. Like, they shouldn't beat Miami. Right, Miami's a better team. The game's in Miami. I get that. But that shouldn't happen either.
Well, no, I mean, I was flipping back and forth, too. They weren't
between
ready
what,
for the
local broadcast and the national?
Yeah, just to see what they were saying. Just sure. to get, you know, someone else's, you know, opinion.
You're very well-versed. You do such a nice job with that.
No, but it's like, I mean, it frustrates me as a former player just because I know every night I can show up and I can bring energy. I can be aggressive. And to hear them, you know, on the broadcast talking about, even Wally after the game, the Knicks weren't ready for the Heat's aggressiveness. I mean, what did you expect from this Heat team? That's who they are. That's how they play. Like, to watch Julius Randle right now and to watch his body language, and I know he's struggling, and I understand that a lot of this is probably mental, but he is the guy, like it or not, that sets the tone for this team.
Don't like it.
Of course you don't like it. How could you like it at this point? I mean, 11 points last night, not good enough. I mean, Barrett gave you 17. Obi was really good, which is nice. And I don't know how much of that. See, that's why I don't like about putting the bench in when you're down 30 already. Because I don't know whether, because the bench came in and played well. And Obi played well. But is it because it's garbage time now? You know what I mean? Miami takes their foot off the gas a little bit, so you can take advantage of that. So, but how do you? But that's my point. Like, these guys got to get meaningful minutes to know if you can trust them in big spike to actually go out there and play when you need them.
And why would you not? Like if you were getting great production from the starters, you'd be like, you know, you can't really find a spot, but you can. Just the opposite. The starters are horrendous. You need to go to the bench and rely on them earlier in these games. And if they're awful, all right, then you come up with a different game plan. And maybe nothing works. Maybe this year's going to be a lost cause.
But try everything.
What you're doing
though.
Right now is not working.
But try everything, though.
Yes, that's my point. That's
my
point.
They're 1-5 in their last six. They're going to Milwaukee. You can't let their chances.
We've gone through the schedule.
I know.
You go out west, it's terrible.
He gave up 21 points off of turnovers.
Miami had 20 points halfway through the first quarter last night.
They had no chance last night.
None.
No chance.
It was a repulsive performance. You know what it was like? It was unlike your Open. Their Open and your Open had no comparison.
Yeah, but it wasn't even they got outworked. They got outcoached. They got out-talented.
Everything.
I mean, that's a Miami team without Kyle Lowry last night, too.
Well, thank God. Otherwise, it could have really out of hand.
Like, Mitchell Robinson couldn't handle. Like, that's just not a good matchup for him. I don't know what you
think. And why is he in the game down 30 in the fourth quarter coming back from injury?
Because Nerlens Noel's not available.
So what?
And they refuse to go small. I don't get it. I mean,
you have
different.
To. Yeah, at that moment, it's like, you know what? You could get out rebounded. I mean, who cares?
I just don't know why you wait till you're down 30.
To make changes.
I mean, the starting five weren't doing anything. They were doing nothing.
It is so frustrating.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We could get 2 inches or 20 inches.
I shovel.
It's like hedonism. Just roll the dice. You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, great. If we get 20 inches, I will have to take out a loan to have my driveway plowed.
Oh, my God.
I don't want the double plow today.
Especially if it's staggered.
Well, you can't go one plow with 20 inches.
No, of course. That's what I mean. I mean, you're going to get triple plowed maybe with 20.
I'm going to wind up spending over $500. I don't understand why this is funny for you. Who does
your plowing?
Why don't
you buy a snowblower?
Now, stop it.
Well, what do you mean stop it? The snowblower's nice.
I'm sure it's nice, but there's blades involved, and I don't know. I don't think it would end well.
You just walk with it.
I'd lose a finger.
No.
Because you know what happens. Snow would get caught. I'd think it shut off. I'd reach in. It would cut off a finger. Big news! Jazz hands! I need all my fingers. For me not to have a finger would be terrible.
Oh, it'd be devastating.
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 My hands are beautiful. I have soft, buttery hands.
Damn alligator, took my hand off.
Yeah, no, I don't want to play like that.
You do have nice hands.
Thank you.
It's one of your better features.
I don't care about your children. Rub my glutes.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I don't want to lose, because knowing me, it would be a thumb, and then all hell breaks loose.
There are
no
kids in your neighborhood that will come and knock on your door to shovel?
Not, bit my hand off.
Oh, my
not
God.
Not one. Never since we've lived in this area, which has been... Since Ben is in kindergarten, he's in ninth grade now, has a child rang the bell and said, would you like us to shovel your driveway and your walkway? Not once.
I used to make so much money.
So did I.
Oh.
So did I.
It was great. I mean, just knock on doors. Hey, can we shovel your driveway? Yeah.
We used to charge. Now, I know. Now you're like, that's it. $40 a driveway.
That's a lot.
$40 a driveway.
That's a nice payday right there. How many buddies?
Me and usually two friends.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're.
But we would wind up doing 8-10 driveways a day.
Oh, yeah. With, I mean, a group of three for sure.
Right. So I mean, now you're looking at, you're making $175.
Huh. Get to hang
kid?
With your buddies, make some money.
Yeah.
We used to go right to McDonald's, get a nice little double cheeseburger, some fries, maybe a Big Mac, some nuggets.
Look at you. Now, who does your driveway?
Oh, we have to, I mean, I plow. We plow the front of it.
You probably shovel. Like the town probably does it. You probably have some kind of
No, we got the guy who does the landscaping plows it.
Oh, he's all in one.
He's all inclusive, yeah.
Uh-huh. And now, do you just hire him on like a retainer, or do you pay by the plow?
I think it's by the plow.
Okay. All right, so you must get the double plow.
That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
No, he waits. I have him wait. I told him to wait because I have nowhere. Unless I have somewhere to go, I just say wait. Wait till the snow stops.
My guy will show up anything.
Unless we get buckets. Like, unless it's, I mean, we're getting 16, 20 inches, then yeah, who knows?
I hope that doesn't happen.
I was like, listen. You plow the front, I'll shovel the back. What a mistake that was.
Well, why would you do that? If you're paying the
goodness.
Guy to do your property, why in the world would you do anything?
Well, because I don't have the shed yet, so I had the truck back there, and I wanted to teach my kids, like, we should shovel. Like, hey, you know, let's go out and shovel. I'm trying to... You know,
I shovel.
Parent properly.
Yeah, no,
and
you're
then
right.
I'm the one that ends up doing the shoveling. They're shoveling like where I just
exactly
shoveled.
Exactly what happens.
They're shoveling where I just shoveled, so there's more snow where I just shoveled. My back was just... It's no wonder why they tell older people not to shovel.
No, you die. Oh, I shovel, I die. No, because your blood flow constricts and the heart doesn't
stressful.
Pump the same way. Have a massive heart attack. You wouldn't want that.
Oh, for your back. My back was so sore.
Oh, terrible. Terrible. And you're in good shape. Imagine me.
No, I couldn't. That's why I said snowblower. Right. All you got to do is push it.
Yeah, but again, the blades. I don't like the blades.
You know what I was thinking, though? Because I think Milo would like it. What if I got like a four-wheeler? See, my luck, I'll get a four-wheeler and put a plow on the front of it and it won't snow.
That'd be that. You should do that.
Yeah,
then you could go around your neighborhood and you could make money.
Well, yeah, well, just
I agree with that.
The
guy
I like
calls
that,
his
right?
Buddy, guess what happened? Rick DiPietro was at my house and wanted to plow.
Yeah, just the driveway, though.
Just the driveway.
Just the driveway, yeah. Let's make sure we stress just the driveway.
All right, let's... Let's take a listen to a little Tom Thibodeau, and then we'll get to your Knicks calls, 1-800-919-3776. We start, and this is interesting for me. What is the issue with Julius Randle?
I said players are going to go through things, you know, so there's a lot of things that he could do to help us, defense, rebounding, pushing the ball, attacking the rim, and making reads, you know, so he's always going to, his scoring is always going to be there, and at the end of the day, he's going to score, you know, so don't let that take away from any intensity that you have. Oftentimes, it's the hustle plays that get you going. That's probably the biggest thing.
So... I can't wait for him to start doing all those things.
Well, it's 49 games. I mean, at a certain point, this has been...
It's a pretty big sample size, no? Yeah.
It's a big sample size. Here's the thing, though, and this probably won't be a popular take. I almost feel bad for Julius Randle at the moment.
I think that I don't think you're crazy with that take.
I mean, he left money on the table. He had an unbelievable season last year.
He wanted to be here.
But, I mean, I'm reading some of the stuff after the game, too, and, like, you know, I've been in those meetings where you're game planning, and, you know, you have certain guys on the whiteboard. I mean, your whole... Like, we had at one point, we played, I think it was the Penguins. The Penguins? It might have been the Penguins, where our whole game
plan... You just had a full conversation, John, with yourself.
No, I can't. I don't know if it was the Penguins or it was the Rangers. It was one of the two. But what it doesn't matter what team it was. It was Jager. And our whole game plan into the game was, we can't let Jager beat us, so we're going to have one guy just shadow Jager the entire game. Wherever he is, I don't care where the puck is, wherever he is, you skate by him. Like, that's not that level, obviously, but listening to, like, P.J. Tucker after the game, it was... We're going to pressure their guards because they don't really have a guard, and then we're going to make it as difficult as possible on Julius Randle.
Yeah, he was not good last night. Do you remember the game? It was a college game, and I was living down in college basketball heaven in
North Carolina. I love it down there, by the way.
It was Davidson, and I forget who RJ. You could probably look it up. They were playing. I don't remember the team, like a Loyola Maryland, something like that. And Steph Curry's on Davidson. The coach said, Steph Curry will not beat us. They put three guys on him, and the other guys would just stand around and lay the ball in the basket.
Yeah, but
it was bizarre.
Yeah, I wouldn't take it to that level necessarily, but
exactly.
I mean, those are the conversations that you have. I mean, we used to do that with Ovechkin on the power play. He's always in the same spot. It's like, we don't care what happens on this side of the ice. Do not let Ovechkin beat us with one-timers from that spot. Don't let it happen.
Now, RJ, you've done a little research on this story that I tell?
Yes, it looks like Steph Curry was held scoreless.
Scoreless. They were so excited by this.
And Loyola lost by 30.
Yes. And the coach was Jimmy Patsos, I think, was the coach.
Good job.
He was so excited that he held Steph Curry scoreless. And then it was like, you lost the game by 30. But then that didn't seem to matter.
Yeah, I'm reading the article right now. It also backfired spectacularly.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that.
I'm reading it. He asked a reporter after when he was being questioned, well, has anybody else ever held him scoreless?
He was so, I'm telling you, it was a big topic of conversation in Raleigh Sports Radio. The guy was so excited.
It's the little things, Dave, as a coach.
He's like, we held him scoreless. And the reporters were like, you lost by 30.
He said,
triple teamed him.
He said, I'm a history major. Yeah. Are people going to remember that we held him scoreless or that we lost by 30?
That's my kind of coach.
I don't think he's coaching anymore, by the way.
That's no surprise.
Yeah, Jimmy Patsos. Good stuff.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Now, you have a busy day. I know your number one star of the day is this show, but there's more work to be done. Fill us in on what you're doing today, please.
Okay, so we got the show.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite thing to do.
I know it is.
And then I will travel to Bristol this afternoon, and I will do The Point with Torts, John Tortorella.
Right.
And Art O'Cal at 5 on ESPN2.
So this is a TV vehicle.
This is an ESPN2 TV vehicle,
I'm going to watch that.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
I'm going to watch that.
There's a strong possibility that they show me getting knocked out.
Why would they do that?
Because I think we have Daniel Cormier on the show.
Oh.
So they asked me, have you fought before? I said, yeah, I've fought a couple different times.
But why would they bring that one in?
Well, because I think there's probably more to talk about with that fight as opposed to me just, you know, winning a couple fights.
Yeah, but that was like life-changing. Like
no.
Yes.
Lesson learned. Lesson learned.
That feels mean.
No. I mean, you're all hopped up on painkillers. I didn't feel it. There's more to talk about with that one as opposed to the one. I had a good fight against the Rangers. I fought Al Montoya against the Rangers. That was a pretty good one.
How'd you do in that one?
I won that one.
See, that one never gets shown.
Well, John, I mean, the Brent Johnson was really my only loss. My first pro game ever I fought Pokey Reese's brother, Smokey. I fought him.
The second baseman?
See, I should have known, too, that at some point my career would go sideways the way it started. My first ever pro game, I got sent to Chicago, the Wolves. My first ever game, I'm in the locker room, I'm getting stretched by the trainer, and the training table collapsed.
Oh, my God.
And I almost got knocked unconscious.
Oh, my God. So you fell onto the floor from the training table?
Yes.
Oh, God. Were you injured?
I was getting a hamstring stretch, and the table just collapsed.
Oh, my God. All right. So 5 o'clock, The Point.
Yep.
ESPN2. That's not it, though.
No, that's not it. That's going to be followed up by we're doing a short pregame for Islanders Kings tonight. So I'll do intermissions and then postgame, and then I'll see you.
Are you doing then the late night recap show?
No.
Oh, so you get out of there at a reasonable time.
Yeah, I mean, whatever time the postgame ends.
All right, so you're out of there by 10:30?
Probably.
All right. So you're home by 12:30?
Yeah.
And then up at 2? There's no way. You got to push it on the other end. You can't wait.
I may sleep in a little bit.
Sleep till 5.
No, I'm not going to sleep till 5. The show starts at 5.
Well, that's fine. You deserve it. Sleep till 4:46.
No.
I can't do that
because because I know what you want to happen. You want me to oversleep and I'll be the idiot that shows up late for the show. I'll win the prize. I'll get the beautiful gift.
I hadn't thought of that.
Expired cake.
That would be nice. You know, stop with the expired cake, please. I did.
You know what you've
wrong.
Done, though? You know what you've done? Because I found myself doing this yesterday. It's almost like you've now challenged me because you did it and you got in the gift basket. And it's a beautiful gift basket. You call it a fruit, whatever you want to call it. I now want to have like a competition with who can send RJ in Santiago with a better gift basket.
Oh. So they win, we lose.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they deserve it, don't they?
They do, but how much are we supposed to give them?
Oh, I don't know. We just go back and forth. And
we go back and forth?
Maybe I send Santiago a gift basket, and we'll see how it compares to your...
Well, how about we make some kind of wager, and the loser, the wager, has to send the nice gift basket, and we see who sends the nicer one.
Oh, I like that.
Like, we pick a game maybe we differ on this weekend.
See, I like that. Now you're talking.
How many yards does Patrick Mahomes throw for? And then whoever's closest to that number wins.
Is there a game right now? We're tied up with the K-Show. Is there a game you're leaning to?
Love.
You love. You love
Kansas City. And you're not going to like it. I'm going to have to push you to it, but I think I'll be able to.
You love Kansas City.
I'm not tipping my hand. That's tomorrow at 6:45.
Well, we have first pick anyway.
No, I understand that, but I'm not going to ruin the segment tomorrow at 6:45, today at 5:40.
Well, can't you tease me a little bit?
It's one of the two games.
You are such an idiot.
All right, more Tom Thibodeau, 1-800-919-3776. Do you think the outside distractions are affecting Julius Randle?
Over the course of the season, you're going to go through a lot of things. There's a lot that you have to get through, and just that's why you want to stick with your routine, be mentally tough through the adversity, and just keep working. You know, like, the only thing you can control is what you put into each and every day. If you're thinking about what happened yesterday or what's coming down the road, you're not going to be focused on today or what we have to get done. So he's proven to be a good player. He'll get back to that, and our team has to get back to that. It's not just an individual sport. You have to count on everyone working together, and that's where we need to play better.
Listen, he takes the slings and arrows for Julius Randle, but we're, like you mentioned, we're 49 games into the season. He's been dreadful. He was minus whatever it was, 34 last night. Why can't you just say he's got to be better?
Oh, we all know he has to be better. If they have any shot, he has to be better. We've already established he's not, on a good team, on a team that's, especially in the East this season, Julius Randle is not your best player on a really good team.
At best, he's your second best player.
Okay, but you're relying on him to be your best player. Like, him and R.J. Barrett consistently have to be your best two players.
Which I totally understand. And I don't think he is a 1A on a good team. But I also think he's got to be better than this. Because right now, he's almost unplayable.
He's been bad. He's been really bad. And all the other stuff, too, that comes along with the thumbs down, his body language, all those... Some of the effort, the lack of effort sometimes. Yeah, it's the last thing you want to see because you realize how important he is to this team. It's just, is he this bad? No. Is he as good as he was last season? No. Like, we got to find somewhere in the middle. And, you mentioned 49 games. Does he find it? The guy needs help. Well, he needs help.
Does it happen on Friday against Giannis in Milwaukee?
No, he needs help, Dave. He needs help. This team, right? And it's not just him. It's not just Tibbs. Leon Rose did an awful job this offseason.
I said that weeks ago. And, awful. And can we see Cam Reddish for more than garbage time, please?
Okay, hold on one second. I was thinking about this because I knew you would ask me this. Hey, you don't think there's a reason why Cam Reddish is on his second team already?
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't like him in Atlanta, but give him a chance.
Well, okay, but don't you have to earn your chance? Like, you haven't seen a practice.
When your team is down 30, now, you can't get him some run in the first half?
Okay, but are we sure? Like, at a certain point, like, in order for this kid to reach his potential, right? And that's what you're hoping for. He's the 10th overall pick. Okay? Like, there's obviously something going on with him where he's now, like, that Atlanta couldn't wait to get rid of him. So something has to change. Does just giving him playing time that he hasn't earned change that? I doubt it.
I doubt it as well. But I guess you bring up a fair point. But at this point, I'm grasping at straws. I'd like to see him play a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you, forget Cam Reddish. You know who should play? You know who deserves to play?
Obi Toppin?
Keeps his head, no, Toppin definitely, but he keeps his head down. Every time they send him down, he lights it up. Deuce McBride deserves to get some run. Every time they send that kid down to the G League, he lights it up.
But they're not going to do that, because if you're going to start playing him, now you're admitting that it's just not working.
Is it working with Kemba?
No.
Okay.
I'd like to see them go to the bench a little earlier, but I'm sick of Obi Toppin for short amount of minutes. Can play the guy.
Yeah,
especially last night, play him.
Yeah, but I think you're going to be – I think if you play him in the spots you're talking about, like you don't wait till you're down 30, and now you – I mean, he's essentially replacing Julius Randle. I don't think you're going to like what you see.
I don't like what I see anyway.
No, I know. I know.
So,
but yeah, I mean,
so it's not going to be worse.
But you have to make a decision,
worst case,
though.
It's the same.
But no, it's not going to be the same. You got to make it. You're going to have to make a decision. You saw what this looks like. As bad as Julius Randle's he's been, you've seen what it looks like when he doesn't play. Now, last night wasn't a good example because they had no chance last night. It was, I mean, from the start of that game, it was over. They weren't even, it looked like
they
were.
Never in doubt that game.
No, never in doubt. They didn't deserve to be on the floor with Miami last night.
It was disgraceful. All right, you want to hear from Jeff Van Gundy? Did the game on ESPN, like you mentioned. Here he is on the Knicks starting lineup.
They don't bring it on a nightly basis. I'm talking the starting unit. And if there's been plenty of time throughout the year to show that they work well together. I just don't know how they continue on like this. You know, that's the definition of insanity, is seeing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
That's a pretty strong statement.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you know how close he is with Tibbs. You think he's just pulling that? Like, he doesn't watch all these Knicks. He's not watching all these Knicks games. You don't think that was something that they talked about?
I'm sure it is.
You can only work with what you have. And part of me understands that, I mean, your bench unit, I mean, last night it was your bench that, I mean, at least they played hard. I mean, your bench was a bright spot. I mean, they had 47 points last night. So the bench was a bright spot. You don't want to disrupt that chemistry. So you play with what you, I mean, you play.
But you got to go to them earlier.
No, listen, I don't disagree. You can't wait till you're down 30. But this is just not, it's not a well put together team, man.
Well,
it's not.
Here we are now. And this is what I was going to tell you earlier in the show, and I'm going to share it with you now. I don't think Thibodeau is going to be the head coach for long.
Yeah, but hey, we can't.
I do not believe he's at the All-Star break of next season. I don't think he's your head coach.
So all the goodwill, all the progress that we made last year is just going to be completely out the window.
You don't feel like it's going out the window now?
It feels like it.
You're Joe Judge 1 minute, and then you're Joe Judge the next.
Yeah, but I think Tibbs is a good coach, man.
I do too.
I think he was dealt a crappy hand. I do. I mean, why else would you not? I mean, if he really wanted Kemba this offseason, right? Like, you see how he treats Julius Randle. And it frustrates you sometimes how
they treat him like a baby.
Okay, you saw how he treated Kemba Walker. I mean, him treating Kemba Walker the way he treated him, does that make you feel like he's the one that really wanted Kemba this offseason?
No, they couldn't eliminate him from the rotation quickly enough.
So, I mean, and you got no Derrick Rose now. I mean, it's the most important position in the sport, and you don't have it.
I get it, but it's still not like they're losing games but competing. I mean, they're non-competitive.
But you got to understand that
games.
Too, though, Dave. It's not. I mean, it's a reality. It drives you crazy when you watch it, but it's a reality. In basketball, a lot of the time, you know, your offense will dictate how you play defense or how hard you play defense. And have you watched this team offensively?
They're dreadful.
The struggle that it is offensively?
They are dreadful offensively.
The offense, bottom line is the offense shouldn't run through Julius Randle. It shouldn't.
But what choice? Where are you going to run it through then?
But that's the thing. But that's the thing. See, that's the problem. And there lies the problem, is that you're asking this guy to do too much. He's not capable of doing it. Especially playing the way he's playing.
And we got fooled because we thought he was.
Yeah, but now people have figured it out. He's shown you. He's all NBA. I mean, he's most improved player. Now people are taking him seriously,
serious. My God, does he take bad shots. I mean, my God.
But when does he get easy shots, though? That's the question.
I mean, he had one last night where the ball just found it into his hands and he laid it in. But for the most part, these are, I mean, 18-foot fadeaways on the baseline. It's like, I mean, these are impossible shots that the guy takes.
Yeah, but I mean, the offense doesn't make it easy on him. It doesn't. I mean, their offense is not creative. You watch Miami play offense. I mean, running off screens, the cuts.
Oh, they get layups.
It's just.
And they also can shoot.
Well, but you also have guys that can legitimately handle the ball. You got Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that's also a very good team.
No, I know that. But you actually have guys. You have playmakers. I mean, Tyler Hero was getting in the paint at will. At will. I mean, you took that beating. They didn't have Kyle Lowry last night.
Oh, thank goodness. Could have gotten really out of hand.
Mitchell Robinson. God forbid you play against the five that can actually. That's a stretch five. Because Mitchell Robinson is just, it's just an awful matchup for him.
Yeah, they can't guard the perimeter with the big guys. More Van Gundy. You ready for this one? He says they just don't have the pieces right now.
In terms of great players, do the Knicks have enough of those pieces that are going to attract another team to make a huge deal that's really going to improve this Knicks team right now?
No, they don't. And really what happened is this summer, they thought they were upgrading. They made a lot of moves, you know, extended Randall, paid Randall, Nerlens Noel, Walker, and Fournier. It just hasn't worked yet.
You know, he threw yet in as if there's a chance that it will. But it's not going to.
No.
Let's be fair. Leon Rose had a horrendous offseason.
Horrendous.
And now you're going to have to deal with the consequences of that.
Horrendous offseason.
Horrendous.
Especially when you see what, I mean, like what DeMar DeRozan's doing in Chicago.
And that's the same money.
Well, I mean,
Walker and Fournier are the same money combined as DeMar DeRozan.
I mean, Patty Mills is doing in Brooklyn. I mean, it's been bad.
Bad. Very.
And it's a
bad.
Good story. I mean, yeah, it's a great story. It's almost like. Now, we haven't really seen what Obi's going to be. But again, when you drafted him, he's an older, you know, an older kid coming into the draft.
Yeah.
But it felt like, I mean, a lot of why you drafted Obi was because of the story, too. And now Julius Randle has that season, so you extend him and they play the same position.
Yeah, it's clunky. You're right. Let's go to Danny in Westbury. Good morning, Dan. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. How you doing?
We're doing well.
Yeah, well, that's putting it politely. Why are the Knicks so bad, and why is Julius Randle so bad?
It's a great question. I think if Tibbs can answer that question.
Trying to play bully ball, that did you see that play where he tried to bully his way in and just chucked it up, and I think it was the third quarter?
Well, yeah, but that's part of my problem with the Knicks offense, too, is like it's like, okay, here's the ball. You try to, you know, you go one-on-one, try to make something happen. Then they get into the lane with no plan. They turn it over. I mean, Julius Randle, how many times has he got into the lane, jumped up, picked up his dribble, jumped, and then had no idea where the hell the ball was going?
All the time. I mean, listen, we know the reason. He has the ball in his hand so much because they do not have a point guard. It's glaring at this point. He can't do these things. He shouldn't be asked to do a lot of the things that he is. But, I mean, he's not handling it well. The team's not playing well. They're getting blown out of these games. It gets no easier. Like, I just don't see the end of the road. I don't see a lot of positivity in the coming weeks for this team.
No, I don't either. And I can understand the frustration. I don't like how Julius Randle is handling this whole thing, but I can understand his frustration.
Yeah, but you can't act like this.
No, you can't. I 1,000% agree with you. But I can understand coming off the season he had last year, coming off the season the team had last year, you know, expecting Leon Rose in the front office to make appropriate moves to help you get to that next level, to take that next step. And it's Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier, who can't play, neither have been good. I mean, this is what you're stuck with. And now every team just says, okay, as long as we make it tough on Julius Randle, we should win this game. Like, just let's eliminate Julius Randle, we'll be good.
That's right. And RJ, too.
Well, but RJ reaps the rewards of everyone paying attention to Julius, and RJ's been really good. He was pretty good last night. One of the only bright spots. I mean, him and Obi was good. Two of the only real bright spots of last night's game. But, I mean, the teams, and they said it last night. P.J. Tucker said it after the game last night. You know, you'd be tough on their guards because they're not, I mean, they don't even have a guard, really.
Because they're lousy.
And then, you know, between him and what he was able to do, deny the ball to Randle, and then when he did get the ball, they send the double team, make it as hard as possible on Julius Randle, and we like our chances.
Yeah, and 9-0, 13-2, the game was over very early. Let's go to Paul in Mayapak. Paul, you're on 98.7 ESPN, buddy.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What's up, pal?
Rick, I got to call you out. I don't watch basketball. I'm not a Knicks fan, but I sit here and I listen to you every morning. You got callers calling up and saying that at some point your bench player has got to become your starters. You said something the other day. You said that you got to be loyal to who got you there. Where's Julius Randle got you? All I hear you do is complain about where the Knicks are. Why you have to be loyal to Julius Randle? At some point, you got to put these guys on a bench and let the other players play.
I'm just telling you right now, I mean, you don't watch the Knicks. I watch every single one of these games. You know, it doesn't sound like you're a Knicks fan. I've seen what the team looks like without Julius Randle. As bad as Julius Randle has been, when Julius Randle doesn't play, they have no chance to win. None. They don't. Like it or not, he's your best player.
Don't.
No one likes it right now. I mean, he reminds you of the Julius Randle you saw before last season.
You wouldn't have extended this Julius Randle.
No, absolutely not. But I mean, you said it the best. They're asking him to do the thing. They're asking him right now to do things that he's not capable of doing.
Right, which is unfair to him. What's unfair to us is the way he is handling himself right now.
Correct. He's not handling himself well.
You talk to the media. You don't give the finger to the crowd at the Garden.
And by the way, I love how people listen to what I say and think it's me saying that you got to be loyal to Julius. I'm telling you what the coach is doing. They're saying he does the same thing with Alec Burks. People get, well, why is Alec Burks playing? Because Alec Burks does every single thing that Tom Thibodeau asks him to do. That's why.
So are you willing to say,
as a player,
go ahead.
No, as a player, you build up equity with your coach, and they start to trust you. And I think one of the criticisms with Tibbs is that he's to a fault loyal to those guys that have built up that trust.
It's going to wind up burning him in the end.
It feels like it.
Are you willing to say that last year's what did they win last year? 48?
I think somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah. That was fraudulent.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not at this point?
Because of what you saw in the postseason and what you've seen this year, that was a fraudulent season last year for the Knicks.
Fraudulent or not, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
41-31.
And I was hoping that this would be... Well, yeah, because they only played less games. Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many people... The over-under on the Knicks is 42.5?
I said it.
Well, you said... I had a buddy tell me nonstop, I mean, that's easy money. I said, don't be so sure. Easy money.
Vegas is so good.
So good.
They just teased you with that number. Just teased you. Because if it's below... Because if they go below 500, then you go... You're like, oh, so they know something that we don't know. You know, it's like, oh, this is way too fishy. But 500 is like, okay, that makes sense.
They give you the number that still seems like it's low, but they're probably like, oh, God, people are going to do this.
Yeah, look at these dummies.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.